Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, God. Well, today we're going to consider the third commandment and try and imagine it in the context of its relationship with Jesus' teachings and the words of the New Testament. The third commandment is, "You shall not take the name of your Lord in vain." For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. So as I read that and I read the gospel, I said, I don't think I can do this. But it just didn't turn out as easy as I thought it would be. I thought it would, the Holy Spirit would just open it up and there it will be. And we did get a little hint this morning, which I've just sort of discovered, which I'll share with you. But trying to preach the information that I know to be true was not easy to get on paper or in my brain when there were passages like gnashing of teeth and all that stuff. So in my study, one of the things I did was to read one of the other psalms that could be read today. In the lectionary, there are sometimes it's just a Old Testament, New Testament, psalm, gospel, and that's it. But sometimes there are like two, sometimes three choices. Well, as I was reading the third choice, is part of Psalm 119, it said, "Your decrees are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them with all my heart. When your word goes forth, it gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant. I long for your commandments." There is a longing in my heart about the commandments and how important they are to our lives as Christians. Then, if that wasn't enough, and one of the things I was reading said this. The New Testament doesn't discard the Ten Commandments. It reads them in the light of Jesus' teaching and through the lens of his resurrection. Love fulfills the commands. Worship finds its true center in Jesus. Obedience becomes the joyful way of people who carry the name of Christ. Okay, God, I get it. So here we are. And I love these words, love, obedience, and center. Those things that we need to have in our heart and our soul to be prepared to do it, what it is that Jesus calls us to do. To love one another, to be obedient to God and to the commandments. And to find our true center in worship of Jesus. So I'm going to continue, and I hope that this study will embrace the yes and the Jesus in the Ten Commandments. I continue to see them in a different context as I do this, and that is the context of freedom versus restriction. We did this thing where we kind of flipped over the first two commandments from thou shalt not to something thou shall. It's like thou shalt not touch the stove, right? That's an invitation for the child to touch the stove. So the first, and the Lord who God brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me. God says, put me first. The positive spin on this is trust me. Follow me and I will free you from all that enslaves you. And in the second, we find the second, which is that you shall not make idol for yourself, idols of anything else, of anything that heaven or earth is, and you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for the Lord your God, I am a jealous God. That's one of those passages that we can unpack in another way, because a lot of times people interpret things like the cross and images as being against God's instruction to us to not have any images other than Him. Everything we need comes from God. We don't need all the trappings of the world. We don't need all the fancy stuff. We don't need the crowns with the jewels. God will protect us and take us with Him to show us that everything we need comes from God. So if maybe we were to flip over the third commandment, wondering what is it that God is inviting us to do or value. We shall not take the Lord's name in vain. We shall speak God's name and protect His reputation. Reputation, God's reputation? And I really thought about that. What's in a name? God says, I am. He is all things. Our name identifies us. We can't begin to identify God except in very small ways, except to say, I am. But then, here's the thing. God has a reputation. I never thought of that before. And here's the clincher for me. When I thought about that, I realized that I am responsible for God's reputation. Well, can't God do that for Himself? Of course. But it's not about what God can or cannot do. It's about what we do, what we can do to glorify God. And I ask the question, are we bold enough in our belief to declare the beauty and greatness of God? Are we bold enough to live the gospel and live into honoring God by name? So have you ever been standing in line waiting for something or in a public place waiting to pay, and or there's people are having a heated discussion and you hear God's name being taken in vain? What did you do? Well, I can tell you what I've done. Nothing. Oh, I was self-righteous that I did not defame God, at least not in public. Good old me. But now we're talking about scary with a capital S when we consider how to broach the subject with someone about using God's name in a way that's unsavory, in a way that taints His reputation as being good and wonderful. Scary with a capital S. It's not always possible or prudent to suggest to a total stranger that their language is not appropriate. Language that is offensive dishonors God. And when we let it slide, we say, it's their problem. It's not my problem. I didn't say it. I didn't do it. It's none of my business. That's a good one for me. It's none of my business. I don't need to do that, even though I know I do need to do it. As disciples, we are called to declare the goodness of God. So we'll flip over the third commandment and wonder what it will be. What is God inviting us to do or value? And how does the third commandment inform us about how to declare the importance of honoring God's name? Honor me, trust me. So in our parables today, in our gospel reading, we have a series, a handful of parables. Matthew is the one who has the most parables in his writings and was very fond of them. So let's just, I just want to consider those for a minute, just the words. The first one is mustard seed. We all know that, actually, I've said this before, and I know you've heard this before, that a mustard plant is a bush in our part of the world. But in the Holy Land, in that part of the world, the mustard tree is a tree. I mean, a big tree. And it is a place where many, many things nest, a place of safety. Yeast. Just a little bit. If you've ever baked anything, this little bit of yeast can make 5 or 6 loaves of bread. Just a little bit of love that we have in our hearts that we can share can bring 5 or 6 people to the love of God. Treasure and pearls. What do we treasure? How important is treasure to us? And what kind of treasure is Jesus talking about when he talks about the hidden treasure and the pearl that is found? On the surface, it seems like it might be a little bit worldly. But when you think about it in the context of what Jesus is teaching, we realize that the treasure is not literally the box of treasure or whatever it was, or the pearl, but the treasure is God. And finding him, sometimes he's buried deep. There are places in the world where he's buried very, very deep. And sometimes we have to take hold of all the negative and put it somewhere where it can't be found. And then the net, of casting in a net, outer net, and being full of fish, finding the good and keeping them and sorting out the bad. This is, again, one of those edges for me, that gnashing of teeth in darkness. It's just, one of these days I'm going to preach it, but I'm just not ready yet. Let God do what God does. Little things that we think are small can make something grow into something bigger and something greater, like the yeast in the bread. So Jesus said, so it will be at the end of the age, angels will come and separate evil from righteousness and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? And they answered, yes. If I'd been there, I don't think I could have said yes, because I don't understand it. But again, I'm working on it. So what is the spiritual gift of these parables for us, for you? And again, these aren't questions I'm asking you to answer publicly now, but just questions to ask yourself. How can we look for the power of God in simple places? Simple places. Yeast, a seed, a net. And then how can we be witness to the glory, to the reputation of God? Sometimes it's about doing something that might feel embarrassing or scary, but that's what we're supposed to do. Being a disciple is not safe. Being a Christian is not safe. If we try to pretend that it is, then we dishonor God. Because God is the only thing that can keep us safe and will keep us safe. But we have to participate in the relationship. We can't just put it all on God and say, okay, God, I'm going into the, you know, I'm going out into the poison ivy and I trust you that I won't get it. Yeah, okay, that's not smart. So in closing, there was a meditation that came on one of the meditations I get daily from Brother Jamie Nelson from St. John the Evangelist. And he writes, Jesus' frequent use of parables points to a complicated truth that the beauty, goodness, and power of God will stay beyond our knowing in this lifetime. So why use parables? Parables create space for wondering and for wrestling with God. Parables invite further seeking. They don't set up tidy answers to regurgitate on command. Parables plant the seeds of the kingdom. The seeds of the kingdom. We're called to go out and plant the seeds of the kingdom. So the third commandment, don't take the Lord's name in vain. That's not just words, it's actions as well. And I can't begin to imagine how that plays out in your life. I only know how it plays out in my own. And basically it plays out that I'm kind of a coward. A little confession that I didn't write down, but I just want to share. And that is that sometimes when people say, what do you do for a job? I'm reticent to say that I'm a priest. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I'm afraid they're going to challenge that. I don't know. So in the last little bit, I've been making sure that when someone says, well, what do? That the first thing I say is that I serve the Lord in a wonderful place at St. Francis. Amen.